We turn to the last article of the Belgic Confession. We've made our way through the entire Belgic Confession, so we look at the last one tonight, Article 37, page 857 in your Psalter hymnal in the very back, as we deal with the end. And then our scripture reading for tonight will, corresponding with this, will be from the book of Revelation, the last chapters. So we'll look at Revelation 21 to 6 and Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. But first of all, Article 37, you're just invited to follow along as I read this article. Article 37, the last judgment. Finally, we believe, according to God's word, that when the time appointed by the Lord is come, which is unknown to all creatures, and the number of the elect is complete, our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven, bodily, visibly, as he ascended, with great glory and majesty, to declare himself the judge of the living and the dead. He will burn this old world in fire and flame in order to cleanse it. Then all human creatures will appear in person before that great judge, men, women, and children, who have lived from the beginning until the end of the world. They will be summoned there by the voice of the archangel and by the sound of the divine trumpet. For all those who died before that time will be raised from the earth, their spirits being joined and united with their own bodies in which they lived. And as for those who are still alive, they will not die like the others, but will be changed in the twinkling of an eye from corruptible to incorruptible. Then the books, that is, the consciences, will be opened, and the dead will be judged according to the things they did in the world, whether good or evil. Indeed, all people will give account of all the idle words they have spoken, which the world regards as only playing games. And then the secrets and hypocrisies of men will be publicly uncovered in the sight of all. Therefore, with good reason, the thought of this judgment is horrible and dreadful to wicked and evil people, but it is very pleasant and a great comfort to the righteous and elect, since their total redemption will then be accomplished. They will then receive the fruits of their labor and of the trouble they have suffered. Their innocence will be openly recognized by all, and they will see the terrible vengeance that God will bring on the evil ones who tyrannized, oppressed, and tormented them in this world. The evil ones will be convicted by the witnesses of their own consciences and shall be made immortal, but only to be tormented in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In contrast, the faithful and the elect will be crowned with glory and honor. The Son of Man will confess their names before the Father and the holy elect angels. All tears will be wiped from their eyes, and their cause, at present condemned as heretical and evil by many judges and civil officers, will be acknowledged as the cause of the Son of God. And as a gracious reward, the Lord will make them possess a glory such as the heart of man could never imagine. So we look forward to that great day with longing in order to enjoy fully the promises of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So far, Article 37 of the Belgic Confession. And we turn to the Word of God. We turn to Revelation chapter 20, first of all. And then after that, Revelation 21, page 1936. I understand your Pew Bible. Revelation 20, verses 1 to 6. We'll read that first of all. I'll read these passages and then I'll say, this is the Word of the Lord, and the congregation responds together saying, thanks be to God. First of all, Revelation 21 to 6. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. And I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or their hands, but they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, here's where it all kind of comes together. John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word tonight. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, I've entitled my sermon tonight, The End. I've called it The End, not only because tonight we can conclude our study of the Belgic Confession, but also because of what Article 37 addresses. What does Article 37 address? Of course, the end. It addresses the end of history. It addresses that day when Jesus Christ will return again to usher in the fullness of his Father's kingdom. What a day that will be. And so, the end, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Congregation, as you can see, this last article of the Belgian Confession is not exactly a short one, but then again, maybe it's not a long one either. I mean, is this all the Belgian Confession wants to say about the end? Martin, next slide. Isn't there more to be said? Like, what about the millennium? Notice, if you will, that Article 37 says absolutely nothing about the millennium. Is this matter not important? Maybe you don't know what the millennium is. The millennium is what Revelation 20 talks about. Sure, the millennium is that 1,000-year period. Actually, that's what millennium literally means, if you care to know. It means 1,000. The millennium is that 1,000-year period of peace when people everywhere will recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ. In the millennium, people everywhere will enjoy some kind of peace and prosperity and shalom because Jesus Christ will be recognized as the sovereign Lord over all. Hey, this teaching sounds significant, doesn't it? We're talking about a 1,000-year period of time. So why doesn't the Belgian Confession address this issue? Is it not important? I mean, everybody else seems to think that it is. Sure, television preachers, TV Christian preachers, they seem to talk about the millennium all the time. And if you go to your local Christian bookstore, you will find books and books and books and more books on the millennium. But the Belgian Confession, it doesn't even address the issue at all. Why not? Is it not important? Is the millennium not part of the end of human history? Well, if truth be told, not necessarily. You see, the Belgian Confession, it assumes an amill position when it comes to the millennium. You don't follow me. Well, that's okay. So let me take a few moments to explain. Next slide. Congregation, when it comes to Revelation chapter 20, there are basically three views of the millennium. You get premillennialism, you get postmillennialism, and you get amillennialism. Big words, I know. Each one of these views is very different indeed from each other, but then again, in some ways, the first two, premillennialism and postmillennialism, are somewhat the same. Both are the same in that both assume that in the very last days, right before the very, very end of human history, the whole earth will somehow experience this 1,000-year period of peace and shalom and prosperity. Both premillennialism and postmillennialism hold to this view. The big difference between those two views has to do with when Christ will return. premillennialism holds that Christ will return pre, that is, before the millennium. Postmillennialism holds that Christ will return post, or after the millennium. But as it is, both teach that before the very end, there will be some kind of thousand-year period of peace and shalom on the earth. Now, as I said, there are three views of the millennium, right? There's premillennialism, postmillennialism, and amillennialism. So our Belgic Confession assumes an amill position on this matter. According to the Belgic Confession, Christians do not expect some kind of future thousand-year reign of peace and shalom on the earth. The reason we don't is because the millennium, it takes place in heaven. That's right. It takes place in heaven right now. Right now is the millennium in heaven. When you look at Revelation chapter 20 closely, what we see it describing is Christ's ascension up in heaven. There around his throne are all those who have died and they have gone to heaven. They're alive there. And there around his heavenly throne they praise and they acknowledge him who reigns over all. Satan cannot harm them there. It's the millennium, a time of peace and prosperity. They're doing good. They're in heaven. Now, of course, the text says the millennium is 1,000 years. Well, we don't take that number literally. Seldom are numbers like 1,000 taken literally in the book of Revelation. In Revelation, what 1,000 simply means is this. It means a very long time. In Revelation, numbers are very, very symbolic. So it's a time period of 10 times 10 times 10. That's what it is. 10 times 10 times 10. It's that long, 1,000 years. Yes, according to amillennialism, the 1,000-year reign of Christ began when Christ went up into heaven at his ascension, and it will be over when he comes back again from heaven. That's the amill position. And I want to point out, this position is the historic Christian position. That is, it's the oldest position in the church, and it's the one that makes the most sense. I mean, the only place, and I mean the only place, where Scripture speaks of the millennium is Revelation chapter 20. I think that's significant. If God's plan for the end really does include a whole 1,000-year gap of time on earth right before the end, I think he would have made that just a little bit more clear in Scripture. As it is, our Belgic Confession assumes an amill position on Revelation chapter 20. And so, since the millennium is happening already right now, in the present, and therefore is not really part of the end per se, that explains why the Belgic Confession doesn't address the millennium at all. Now, I hope to have an expanded series on all of this stuff, probably later on in the fall of this year. Here's my plan. Once the Belgic Confession is complete, which is tonight, the next thing I plan to preach on is the Canons of Dort. 2019 is the 400th anniversary of the Synod of Dort, and so I plan to begin a series on the Canons of Dort when I come back from my summer holidays. Once the Canons of Dort is complete, I want to delve a little more into the millennium and other issues associated with the end. And so a whole sermon series on the end, that's what I have planned so far for later on in the fall. But yeah, getting back into my sermon for tonight, congregation, I began my sermon tonight wondering if Article 37 is maybe a little bit too short when it comes to talking about the end. And so we need to address that again. Next slide. Congregation, Is this all the Belgic Confession wants to say about the end? Article 37 doesn't talk about the millennium. It doesn't talk about a lot of stuff. Shouldn't it say more? Well, maybe. But then again, maybe not. You see, fact of the matter is, the Christian church has been studying what the Bible has to say about the end for a very long time. We're talking over 2,000 years now. Certainly we have learned some things along the way. But what have we really learned? We have learned that what the Bible says about the end is not all that simple. Actually, it's rather complicated. We have learned to be a little bit cautious, a little bit reserved about making grand statements, certainly confessional statements about what we think is going to happen in the end. Fact of the matter is, we don't know everything yet. In a day and an age when TV preachers are saying all kinds of bold and sometimes ridiculous statements about what they think is going to happen in the end, it's probably wise that we back up a little bit. Let's consider what the Christian church throughout the ages has learned about the end. Let's center around those things. Let's focus on what is clear from Scripture. That's what the Belgic Confession does. And so, yeah, Article 37 is really rather brief, really. But that's not bad. No, that's probably good. We focus on what we can say with confidence from the Word of God about the end. With that, I'm ready to move on to consider the teachings, then, of Article 37 of the Belgic Confession. Congregation, four things I want to say about the end from Article 37. Next slide. Number one. The first thing I want to note about the end is the timing. That is, when the end will happen. Here, let me read the beginning of Article 37, says the Belgic Confession. Finally, we believe, according to the Word of God, that when the time appointed by the Lord is come, which is unknown to all creatures, and the number of the elect is complete, the Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven. When will the end come? We don't know. Nobody knows. Well, God knows, of course. The end will come at His appointed time, when all of His elect are gathered. And when that is, we don't know. Yes, there are signs of the times today. Actually, there are many signs of the times. There are negative ones and positive ones. There are wars and rumors of wars. There are hurricanes and diseases and earthquakes. We saw one just again in California just the other day. These are all negative signs. These are unhappy signs. But there are also positive ones too, more enjoyable signs. For example, God's elect are being gathered. The word continues to be preached. Preaching. What we have tonight. This is a sign of the times. The word is going out. Yes, there are many signs of the times. But let's not misunderstand these signs. The signs do not indicate when He's coming back. No, they indicate only that He is coming back. The point of the signs is to remind us that we must be ready. Christ will come at a time that we do not expect. Number two, next slide. I want to note the manner in which Christ will return. How will Christ return? Well, says Article 37, our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven bodily and visibly as He ascended with great glory and majesty. How will He return? Sure, in the way that He left. He will come in His human body. As He went up, so He will come down. But he'll come this time in a way that somehow all people will see it. Don't worry, you won't miss it. This won't be something you will hear about later. No, you'll know it, all right. You'll know it right away. The whole world will know it. Says the Belgian Confession, our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven bodily and visibly as he ascended with great glory and majesty to declare himself the judge of the living and the dead. Number three, next slide. I want to note some of the major events that will follow or kind of go along with Christ's return. Some major events. You get the resurrection, first of all. Yep, when Christ returns, somehow all the dead will rise. They will come out of their graves or wherever they are buried. Souls in heaven will reunite with their bodies. And those who are still alive at Christ's return, they will be changed into glorified bodies that won't die. It will all happen in the twinkling of an eye. Mysterious stuff for sure. We get the resurrection, and then after that, next slide, we meet before the judge. Every one of us, yes, with Christ's return, we all face judgment day. Now, we must not misunderstand the purpose of judgment day. The point of judgment day is not to figure out what God will do with you. It's not like you will stand before the judge and God will study the books to see what decision he should make about you. What should I do with you? No. Let it be said, you can know right now what God will do with you. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ now, we will be saved from the wrath that is to come. If we do not believe, if we live in constant sin, then we stand condemned already, says Jesus in John 3, verse 18. And so the point of judgment day is not to discern your final destiny. No, the point of it is to declare your final destiny to the world. It's a day of declaration. I like the analogy of the Olympics. If you're a runner, let's say, and you're the first one to cross the finish line, you know right away if you are the winner or not. But it's at the podium that you are publicly and officially declared the winner. There you receive your gold medal. So it is in Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, the wicked are officially and publicly condemned, and the righteous, they are officially and publicly vindicated. They receive the crown of righteousness. Their books will be opened, and God will say to them all, saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next slide. Yes. At the end, we have the resurrection, we have Judgment Day, and we will also receive the new heavens and the new earth. Yes, on that day, the old creation will be burned, cleansed with fire, and heaven will come upon the earth. Like Revelation 21 describes. Yes, on that day, God's kingdom will finally fully come, and all creation will be restored. Eden will be restored. God will dwell among his people, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. And so those are the three major events of the end. Which leads me to the last thing I want to say about the end. Four things that I want to note about Article 37. I noted the timing of the end. I noted the manner of Jesus coming. I noted some of the great events of the last day. Number four, next slide. I want to note yet the attitude we must have in regards to the end. Our attitude. Congregation, how must we face the end now? Well, one thing is for sure. We must not face it with fear. Not if you're a Christian, you shouldn't. Yes, the events I've just described seem very bizarre. They're very strange. They're very much out of this world. That's understandable. But it's nothing to fear, though. Not if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, well, then that's a different story. Then you need to think again. But if you're a Christian, if you confess Christ, then the end is actually something you can look forward to. It's something you pray for. Now, sometimes people will say, well, I don't want Christ to return. I'm happy with the way life is right now. Just leave it as it is. You know, I can understand that. But congregation, when Christ returns, what he will do is take away all that is bad, and there is a lot of bad, and he'll take all that is good, and he'll make it all that much better. No more death. No more crying. No more pain. No more sin. No more Satan. Only God. Only Christ. Only his kingdom. A new creation. What a day that will be. So, four things I noted about the end from Article 37. I noted the timing of the end. I noted the manner of Christ's return. I noted some of the major events of the end and the attitude that we must take towards the end as well. This article of the Belgian Confession is probably long enough. And so one last thing, final slide, just very briefly. Congregation, like I said, when the end will come, we do not know. But it will come. And so, we need to be ready. Are you ready? How are you ready? You are ready when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Jesus Christ who rose again from the dead. Jesus Christ who is on the throne in heaven ruling. Jesus who gave his life for us. Jesus who is coming again. Are you his follower? Are you his disciple? Do you know him? Today Jesus invites you into a saving relationship with him now before it's too late. May we all continue to pray, yeah, the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come back quickly, Lord Jesus. Come back quickly. Amen. Let's sing. Hymn in response is hymn number 614, Day of Judgment, Day of Wonders. Here we sing of that last day as well. Let's stand together. Let's sing all the four stanzas of hymn number 614. pray. So gracious God, Heavenly Father, we consider and we pray about the end. This is mysterious stuff, unfathomable. We can hardly picture it. Something rather out of this world. And yet you have spoken. You've spoken in your word. We can rely on your word. We can confess together and enjoy together the truth that Jesus is coming again. He's coming. When? We have no idea. But he is. We see the signs. Been another earthquake in California out west. The preaching of the word, which happens even tonight. And we know what's going around the globe. Your elect are being gathered even as we pray and speak. Jesus is coming. How? Bodily, physically, with majesty and glory. And on that day, Jesus will come on the clouds of heaven, riding the clouds, and history will stop. What a day. And the dead will rise. Everyone coming to life. Death stops. Genesis 3 is turned around. The curse is suddenly reversed. Instead of death, there is life. Then that judgment day. We think about judgment day, not to fear it as believers, but to look forward to it because